Grace and peace to you in the name of the one who holds us in hope. So I visited some friends over the holidays, and some I haven't seen in about 3 years. And I became more intimately aware of how many of my friends are going through some difficult times, whether with their children or with their own health concerns or with their parents' or siblings' health concerns. And hope entered our conversations. One of my friends' groups engaged candidly whether hope is even a helpful word or concept. Another asked me to pray specifically for hope. In one group, we talked about the writer, activist, and management consultant Margaret Wheatley's take on hope. She has coined the term hopium, which she defines as irrational or unwarranted optimism. She believes that we live in a culture addicted to hope. And she writes this: "The siren song of hope is sung with increasing volume these days in a number of events, books, and podcasts that promise us more hope. The need to be hopeful rises in direct proportion to our growing despair as we recognize the destruction of planet, people, species, and the future. This relationship between hope and despair is guaranteed. They are two sides of the same coin. Buddhist wisdom has warned us for millennia that hope and fear are one emotional state. When what was hoped for fails to materialize, we flip into fear or despair. Motivated by hope, we end up in despair. The greater the hope, the greater the despair. Those who seek hope as their motivation for activism are doomed to suffering this disabling dynamic." End quote. Now, those are strong words of Wheatley's. There are others who share similar views. The environmental activist and Buddhist Joanna Macy, in her book World as Lover, World as Self, shares similar thoughts about her own coming to terms with hope. She worked for years trying to curb nuclear weapons waste and nuclear storage. In this book, she quotes the philosopher Jacob Needleman, who writes this: "For there is nothing to guarantee that we will be able to remain long enough or deeply enough in front of the unknown, a psychological state which the traditional paths have always recognized as sacred. In that fleeting state between dream, which is called despair in some Western teachings, and self-questioning in Eastern traditions, a man is said to be able to receive the truth, both about nature and his own possible role in the universal order." Macy reflects on these thoughts with her own words. She writes this: "When I was first confronted with my own despair, I was haunted by the question, what do you substitute for hope? I had always assumed that a sanguine confidence in the future was as central as air to breathe. Without it, I had thought, one would collapse into apathy and nihilism. It puzzled me that after owning my despair, the energy I devoted to peace and environmental causes did not lessen, but increased. In a conversation with Jim Douglas, what do you substitute for hope? I asked. He looked at me and smiled. Possibilities, he said. Possibilities you can't predict, just make space for them. There are so many. And that too is waiting, active waiting. Moving out on the fog-bound trail, though you cannot see the way ahead." End quote. I am not entirely willing to give up on hope. Perhaps it is semantics or the limits of the English language. And I think possibilities engage hope. I do not think hope needs to mean a sanguine trust in the future. I think it is a lot harder and more demanding than this. I think it must engage its conversation partner, despair, sincerely and with honesty. It is the both-and paradox of the Lutheran and Christian traditions. Monday was La Kuʻokoʻa Day, a celebration of the day Hawaii was recognized as an independent kingdom by Great Britain and France. The same day, Monday of this week, Mauna Loa began speaking after a long silence. Many Hawaiian activists see in this the rumblings of revival. Something new is coming, and it comes in this form, the destructive and creative unfolding of Pele. Not sanguine, not easy, not safe, not certain. And yet new life unfolds. Possibilities are emerging. Perhaps hope is more like this. A shoot shall come out of the stump of Jesse, a new bud, a green thing. What looked dead is not dead. What looked silent is not silent. There is new life yet. Not sanguine, not easy, not safe, not certain. Possibilities emerge. Perhaps hope, like God, more often has us than we have it. Perhaps as an Advent, it carries us through the darkest dark. Or as with a living volcano, it emerges from dormancy, illuminating the night sky. Hope is the thing with feathers, writes the poet Emily Dickinson. And she sets hope lightly and gently apart from herself. But this gives it its power. A shoot shall come out of the stump of Jesse. Wherever this season finds you in relationship to hope, whether you do not or cannot engage it at all, whether you feel like you have lost it altogether, whether you are resting firmly in its grasp, whether you feel it rise from the earth in the heat and ash of a revival that hurts, or a revival that you cannot yet see, I pray that hope carries you. And this too is waiting, active waiting, moving out on the fog-bound trail, though you cannot see the way ahead. Perhaps hope has us. Amen. Welcome to stand in body or spirit as we sing the hymn of the day.